Welcome, everybody. Good evening. Morning, Petlatska here. Hope everybody's doing well. Hope you all had a wonderful Shabbos. Tonight's share is on Achrimot Kedoshim. And as we get closer to Shavuos, I'm going to be transitioning to some Shavuos themes. So stay tuned to that. But tonight's discussion is actually interesting because we just last week discussed the Kaziah Meshorah, which is a double parsha, and within the double parsha, we had a double discussion about birds. Both two birds we find in Tazria, two birds in Meshorah, and in this week's parsha, we find two billy goats gruff, or two billy goats, as they say. I only mention the billy goats gruff because it reminds me of a book that I used to read to my kids, Three Billy Goats Gruff. But in the beginning of the parsha, we learned that in order to create atonement for the Jewish people, there was two goats. One was a Karban Hashem, and the other is a Seir HaMishtaleach that goes to Azazel, that goes to the Midbar, that goes out to the desert. And so Chazal had many different topics to select from when it comes to Yom Kippur morning. And it just so happens that our parsha that we just read on Shabbos is the parsha that was decided by Chazal to be read on Yom Kippur morning. And the question is, why? What is the message that we learn from this? And what can we extract from it from a daily perspective, from a holistic perspective? How do we gain from this information? So it's interesting because this really is representative of two different Jews. In life, we find that there are people that are kovei etzem haTorah, that they, set aside time for learning, and that time is valuable, it's precious. They're bound by kashrus, they're bound by Torah and mitzvot, they're bound by the codes of morality. And so for every one of these instances that a person has in life, they are, they're triggered, in a sense, by this reminder that there's something above us that commands us or that directs us, and that doesn't inhibit us from enjoying life. That actually promotes our full enjoyment of life because, for example, if we were not able to observe Shabbos, for 25 hours we put away the phone and we're able to enjoy the wonders and the beauty of Shabbos. So what would that be like if we didn't have that opportunity? It would be a different world, right? Shabbos is wonderful because you just step away your mental state from the troubles of the week and you put all that at rest. And on Shabbos, you're supposed to just, have 25 hours that you're Dabur Hashem. And the reason why we don't use electricity is because we have to remind ourselves, as my father, Avraham Shalom, once said, that you're a guest in Hashem's house on Shabbos. And a guest doesn't walk around moving furniture. A guest doesn't walk around changing things and moving things and adjusting things. A guest realizes that his place is sitting at the table and enjoying the meal. That's basically what a guest has to do. So that's what we do on Shabbos. We do the same thing. So we have one goat that's taken out. The Gemara tells us that these two goats were born at the same time. They look the same. They weigh the same. They grew up in the same pen. And one Sunday morning, Yom Kippur morning, the first goat is taken out and brought as a Karban Hashem. And so, and that's the end of the first goat. And the second goat looks on and says, wow, I'm having a great day. At least my morning didn't start like that. And so the goat walks around and behind him has an entourage of other, the Zikne Yisrael, Moshe, Aaron, and all of the elders of the Jewish people. And, he's so excited to be walking near the countryside, and he looks behind him, and he sees all these people following him, and then he feels a nudge, and he goes off the side of the mountain, and that's the end of the goat. So at that moment, the Torah tells us that there's a red thread that's hanging in the Beis HaMikdash, and that there's a red thread that's hanging on the side of the neck of this goat, and it turns white in order to demonstrate or symbolize that now the sins of the Jewish people have been forgiven and they are cleansed from all of their shortcomings. And so that's the moment that everyone is waiting for. That's the moment that all the Jewish people realize that they've been forgiven. So the question is, what exactly is happening over here? You know, can we just try to understand a little bit, as opposed to just, you know, being provided with the translation of the text? What is the background narrative to all of this? And so 20 plus years ago, perhaps, I heard an amazing shiur from Rabbi Eli Mansour. I like to quote him when I remember that it's he who I learned this from. And he explained something really novel that really put a good gloss on this topic. And he said that in life you'll find two different types of Jews, those that are bound by time and those that aren't. Those that are bound by time are those that are happy to be a karban l'Hashem, meaning the word karban really is derived from the word krav, to draw near, which is my particular inference to this, or my chiddush on this drash, is that the word karban is to draw near. And since the beginning of time, people have always sought to draw near to God. And the only way that they felt that they can best do it is to offer what they had, the best of the best, the Meitav Ha'aretz, right? Which is why Cain was jealous of Hevel. Hevel was bringing forth the best of his stock, and Cain was bringing forth secondhand stock. And so he got jealous that Hevel was received in a more favorable manner, and so that drew his ire and his contempt for his brother. So, and also later on, we find that by Bilam and Balak, you know, this whole concept of sincerity, that when it comes to bringing karbanos, is something also that he said, I'm going to bring a karban in order to, this, God forbid, to hurt, harm the Jewish people, God forbid. I'm going to turn that on its head. Not only am I going to accept it, I'm going to bring rus out of this. That, as the Gemara says in Nazir Chav Gimel, from Rabbi Yudah Marav, Liolam Yasek Adam HaTorah, Metzit Tafilu, Shalol Shema, Shavitov Shalol Shema, Bala Shema, Shabbos Bala Karasha, Shehazi, Mem Beis Kabana, Zach Lav Yasem Ero Rav. At least I think that's what the Gemara says. In short, the Gemara is saying that even though Balak brought the Kabanos without the proper intent, Hashem made it so that it should be that he should end up having Rus as being his descendant. So that's a whole discussion unto itself. We'll get to that when we get closer to Shavuos, perhaps. But it's just a good placeholder. The second type of Jew is the one who lives the life of Riley. He has all the time in the world, and he's not bound by anything, no moral constraints, no kashrut constraints, no time constraints, nothing. And he really does believe, like this goat that's walking on the countryside, that the whole world, the Shvili Nivra Ha'olam, is really how this goat lives his life, and there's no need for him to be concerned about others. He's worried and concerned only about himself and his personal needs and gain. And then he feels that nudge, and he wonders to himself, as that goat is falling down the mountainside, what will be my legacy? Who will say Kaddish for me? What positive impact did I leave on society? How will the world be left in a better place because of my entrance into it? What did I do that enhanced mankind? And how did I improve my community? And all of these questions come in a flashing light, and then it's all over. And I think that the message and the power of having this being read on Yom Kippur morning is really to exemplify that life is short, and we have a finite experience, and we have tremendous responsibilities to do for others, to help others. And here is the time when all of the reckoning comes to a stop. Everything comes to a halt. And that's when we all realize that we really have to make the most of every day, and we have to be as productive as we can every single day, and that our davening and that our learning and that our interactions, our social and other types of interactions that we have, really could be improved if possible, even in a minor degree. And so that really teaches us something valuable about the gift of life that we have before us. And that's the reason, perhaps, why the strings turn white from red, because everyone at some point comes to a realization. And Yom Kippur, being Judgment Day, is that realization. It is on that day that everyone realizes the tafkid of life. So that's Achrei Mos. And in Kedoshim, how are we with time? Oh my goodness. Wow. We went through 10 minutes. Well, if you want to bear with me for 5 minutes, I'll just tell you something interesting about Kedoshim. There's one pasuk that stood out to me, and that is Meseva Tukum, the Adartipane Zakim, the Aresa Melakecha, Ani Hashem. In Israel, for example, if there's this pasuk that says this, the first three words, but Meseva Tukum, you should stand up in the presence of the elderly. The Adartipane Zakim is missing, right? What does Rashi say? Ein zaken ela misha kana chachma. The Rambam learns that if you see an individual who is not Jewish and he's already reached 70 years of age, you stand up for him. The Rambam is very liberal, but I think that it's such a powerful lesson if we try to internalize what he's saying. We have to show respect for elderly people, irrespective, the Rambam says, of any Torah knowledge, and irrespective of whether or not the person is even nice. If he's above 70 years of age, we're required to stand up for him. So Adartip and Ezekiel Rashi says, Ein Zakin Elamisha Kana Chachma. Ibn Ezra says that this refers to somebody who's advanced in age, and he's closer to Kabbalah Satorah, but he's also closer to Nisa. So even that is a very powerful lesson. That we have to stand up for these people. But what about the individual that we do stand up for? Is he required to walk into a room filled with students learning in a base medrash, for example? Let's say he's over 70. So, no, there's two approaches to this. He can walk into the front of the shul, everyone can stop learning, and then you can't sit down and continue learning until the person leaves your midst. And that could be dalet amos, they say, or maybe less, maybe more. Maybe out of sight. So, but think about it for a second. Is that really a good use of your time? Maybe the person could think about a better way to enter. He could go through the back of the shul and not be as visible. And what about the people who do see him coming from the back of the shul? They may try to ignore him because they don't want to stop their discussion and stand up. So that's what the pasuk says, the Aresa Melakecha Ani Hashem. Hashem says, I know exactly what's on your mind. I know that you saw this person walk into the room, and so you're trying to ignore the person by not making eye contact. I'm well aware that you're aware that this person's in the room, and you're ignoring the person. You should fear Hashem. And this goes for a parent, and this is also applicable to a grandparent, and this is applicable to those that are learned and those that are not so learned. You can also have a young man who is accomplished in learning, and when that person comes into the room, you need to stand up for them. So if we don't know how much a person has learned, hypothetically speaking, we come across individuals every single day of our existence. We don't know whether or not they're learned or not so learned. We don't know whether or not they're 70 or 69 or 68. We don't know if they're 71. So if we're not certain about their age, and we're certainly not going to ask them, how old are you? That's not the first question we ask people unless you're filling out a life insurance policy, right? If my friend Ari is on the line. Then we really have to be demonstrating respect for so many more people than what we are currently doing. And I think that the message of the Torah is really a powerful one. It's actually abstract from the meaning of the pasuk itself. And my fetish on all of this means that when I look at this pasuk, I think to myself, we should be showing a lot more respect to everybody. And if we did, we would really be living in a much more happier place. If we just stood up and recognized the individual for who they are, irrespective of their knowledge, and irrespective of their age, we would all be living in a happier place. And I think that's one of the primary lessons we can extract from this, which is why the pasuk is written in such a very unique way. That they save a tukum. As my father once said, that there were two rabbis, I'll close out with this, there were two rabbis that walked into a shul, or Beis HaKnesses, and they saw that there were many students. So one rabbi says that there are Sheva Meos. There are 700 students here. And the other rabbi says, no, Arba Meos. There's 400 students. And the students are looking at each other wondering, how could these rabbis debate such a thing? Can't they just tell that one number is larger by two times than the other? It's so much easier just to count the people in the room, cut the room in half, and multiply it by two or some other convention. So, no, my father would say, these rabbis are not arguing about how many students in the room. They're actually saying something different. The one who said Seva Meos is really saying Seva, that this room is filled with students. And the one that says Arba, he's really saying Harba, that there are many students in the room. So between a room full of students and many students, there's no distinction, there's no real difference. And so the life of an individual should be filled, should be Sava. It should be filled with Harba, with many opportunities by which we can demonstrate respect for our fellow Jew by standing up in deference, by greeting people, that we should greet people with a smile, the seva panim yafos, with a happiness and joy that we are able to experience and share times, good times with our friends. And in that trust, in that merit, we should be able to live a long, happy, healthy, productive life. Mordechai Plotzker in Elizabeth, New Jersey, wishing you the very best this week and this week as we march forward toward Lag BaOmer. And I want to wish everyone a wonderful evening and a wonderful week. And Bezos Hashem, I'll be back next Sunday night, 9:50 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Thank you so much again for listening, and all the very best.
So fantastic.